From WGCU, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. People from across the country are planning to march in Washington, D.C. the day after Inauguration Day. It's called the Women's March on Washington, and it includes a group of women from Southwest Florida. There are also marches happening in cities across the country, and one is planned in Naples. We'll talk with women who are going to the Capitol and marching here at home about what's motivating them to take it to the streets. Plus, not only is he a Guinness World Record holder, but now a local author and poet will be inducted into the Florida Artists Hall of Fame. We'll talk with Lee Bennett Hopkins and find out more about his work and how he gets kids interested in poetry and the written word. First, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. The magical influence of poetry on children is kept alive by thoughtful compilations and original work by one of the genre's masters, Lee Bennett Hopkins. Now he's joining an elite group of artists in Florida's Artists Hall of Fame, and he'll be with us later in the show. But first, we're talking with a group of women who have been moved by principle to march in the Women's March on Washington the day after Friday's inauguration. Hundreds of thousands of women are expected to make the trip to Washington, D.C. for the march, while thousands of others will march in their hometowns in solidarity. Naples, Florida will see one such march. Carolyn Ridgway is a team member, or team captain, for a Southwest Florida delegation that's going to D.C. and joins us in the studio. Thanks for being here.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
And Jackie Burgos is an FGCU student who is also making the trip to D.C. Thanks for coming into the studio today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And Jane Riley will be at the march in Naples next week. She's with the Overseas Press Club of America and also joins us in the studio. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you, Julie.
We are talking about the nationwide Women's March on Washington on the day of the day after the presidential inauguration. Do you have any questions or comments? You can share your thoughts with us at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Carolyn Ridgway, you're the team captain for people going to the Women's March on Washington from our corner of Florida. What will this March on Washington on Saturday, January 21st, 1 week from tomorrow, be like for you?
It's going to be huge. I mean, the honest truth is I don't really have a strong expectation or really good words to describe what I'm expecting, because me personally, this is my first time engaging in something of this magnitude. But we know it's going to be really extraordinary. We know there are going to be several hundred thousand people there from all over the country, from all corners of the United States, and I'm sure even some from abroad. So it's going to be amazing. We're going to be all gathered around the Capitol building, throughout the mall area. We're going to have a rally and then a march, and it's just going to be really exciting. Exceptional.
So you said that you've not been involved in a march before?
This is my first political rally of any kind, of any size. So, yeah.
And then you find yourself in a leadership position for this group.
I did. And you know what? I'm not alone. A lot of us who are in leadership positions for the march organization are newbies. We're first timers when it comes to any kind of activism, any kind of really serious political engagement. So, yeah, we're all kind of learning as we go, but it's been very inspiring.
Well, what inspired you to even get involved in the first place? I mean, if you're not normally a political activist anyhow, I mean, what made you take this step?
Well, for me personally, I can say that I sort of fell into it. You know, after the election, I was concerned about the direction that certain things were going. And I met a friend of a friend who's actually the state lead for Florida. She's heading up the whole initiative for the state of Florida. And she connected with me and asked if I would be willing to step in and help out with Southwest Florida. And I just said, sure, why not? You know, I didn't really know what to expect, but I just felt this responsibility and this desire to pitch in and help out.
Wow. And so then you've met, I'm sure, a lot of people.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. So we're all over the state of Florida. The state is split up into lots of different smaller regions. We have what we call ourselves captains. And so we've got captains from all over the state. You know, we're on conference calls. We're on emails with each other, group text messages, group messages of all kinds. Just the information has been flying fast and furious over the last 2 months.
Well, and I imagine that one of the highlights or lowlights would be logistics. I mean, how are people getting there? Where are they staying? How did you figure all that out?
The logistics have been really gargantuan. effort. I mean, I can't discount the importance of the logistics and the transportation. People are getting to Washington every which way possible. A lot of people are getting there by bus. We have a partner, Rally Bus, who's been very instrumental in getting thousands and thousands of people there. A lot of people are driving either by themselves or carpooling, ride sharing. A lot of people are traveling by airplane. Those who live in the Northeast Corridor, a lot of them are traveling by Amtrak, another train, and public transportation. So it's really every way they can get into the greater D.C. area, they are.
So how many people do you have going from here?
We've got several hundred people going from Southwest Florida. It's a little hard to gauge precisely because everybody is going kind of on their own. So we know we've got, you know, a whole bunch of buses going, but then it's a little harder to account exactly how many are traveling on their own. But we know there will be several hundred from Southwest Florida, and we expect, I think the last count was more than 26,000 from the state of Florida altogether.
That's 26,000 from Florida. So you're thinking about the whole country. That's going to be so many people.
Yeah.
Do you like crowds? Crowds are tough.
I think I'd better learn to.
I know. You're going to get to know a lot of like-minded folks. I wanted to also turn to Jackie Burgos. You're a student here at FGCU, and you're going to be going as well.
I am. I'm flying in Friday night, actually.
So are you looking forward to it?
Oh, I'm so excited for this. I've been waiting for this for months.
And you helped fundraise to get other FGCU students to go.
I did. I fundraised for 5 students to go, and we're all either flying, driving, or taking the bus.
Now, so what got you involved? I mean, how did you first hear about the march, and when did you make your decision that you wanted to be there?
I heard about the march from Dr. Ann Hartley, who is also a professor at FGCU. Honestly, I've never met Dr. Hartley in person. She actually just reached out to one of my other professors and posted it in a page. And my professor reached out to me, said, "You need to contact Dr. Hartley. This is right up your alley." So I contacted her, and Dr. Hartley has been just so instrumental in me getting involved and providing with so many opportunities of how to get involved. I think I decided I want to get involved. I was politically active before this election, but specifically with the results of this election. That was my only option, was to get involved.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier that if you didn't, you would feel guilty if you didn't stand up and say something.
I think it'd be on my conscience because it would imply that I would agree with what's going on, and I'd be letting down not only, you know, my parents and past generations, but this generation and the future generations.
I wanted to turn now to Jane Riley. You're going to be at the event in Naples, correct?
That is correct.
So what made you want to get involved in that?
Well, I think I've been politically active for a very long time, and I would have loved to have been able to make the trip to Washington. It's just not feasible at this point. I marched with 600,000 other women in 1989, so I have such great memories of that event, and I'm so proud of the two of you for making the effort to do that. I think it's very – and then when I heard – I heard about a local march in Miami, and then I heard about the one in Naples, and I'm organizing a group of women in my neighborhood, and we'll be going there. And we're just pleased to have an opportunity, a local opportunity, where we can stand up and be counted.
Are you kind of surprised there's something happening in Naples?
I was surprised, but I let delight overwhelm my surprise. So, yes, I'm very pleased, very pleased.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting to talk to different people, and a lot of people want to talk about what this march is actually about. Many are quick to say that it's not about the person Donald Trump, but there seem to be a lot of different ideas and values bringing women, and not just women, people from all walks of life, from all over the country. For you, Caroline, individually, what is this march about?
For me, this is really just an opportunity to get involved in something that seems very important. It's a really reductionist way to look at it, but this, I think, is a really historic time in our history. You know, I'm looking at this as a really extraordinary opportunity to come together with hundreds of thousands of women, but not just women, men, children, people from all demographics, all walks of life, and we have this shared passion, and we may not see exactly eye to eye on all of the individual issues, but we share this interest in human rights and civil rights and women's rights and in all sort of collectivizing our voice and having it heard, because we really are stronger together. You know, that phrase took a lot of flack during the election, but I think that it's true. You know, even outside of the political sphere, when you come together, you really do elevate each other.
But there are those who want to say that it's not about anti-Trump, but then it's the day after the inauguration. The timing of it kind of would indicate that it's kind of an anti-Trump.
Well, the messaging from the march organizers has been very clearly stated that it's not an anti-Trump rally. We are not protesting. We are coming together in an issues-based fashion. So it's really about the solidarity of all coming together around these causes that we think are important and that matter. Certainly, the election was the impetus for this. We can't deny that fact. But I think that it's really tapping into an interest, a passion, even a frustration that has been really latent amongst women, really over, who knows, even the last 5, 10, even 20 years. You know, we as women are told, well, you can have it all, but can we really? I don't know. So I think that we have these issues that we struggle with internally, and finally we feel like we have an opportunity to say them out loud.
Maybe fomented to a culmination in the last year with all the rhetoric coming out loud. More things are being said out loud.
Right.
So maybe more of a response.
I think so. I think it's, like I said, it's really just that I think a lot of these feelings have been really latent, and now we feel like it's our turn.
Mm-hmm. We are talking about the Women's March on Washington, which is just 1 week away. You can become part of the conversation by calling 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK, or find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag of GCL. Jackie, you're an FGCU student, but you are also representing millennials at this generation in this march, and you're a Latina and the daughter of a father who came from another country. So how did this kind of a background influence your decision to get involved?
I think with my father's experiences, he was about 18 years old when he came to this country. For Dominican Republic, he came to New York. You know, growing up, he always instilled in me the value, the importance of education, to never give up, to persevere, have courage, respect for others. He came to this country, didn't know any English, worked multiple jobs to send money back to his country for his family. And throughout the past years, he was able to secure citizenship for his family. So he is, I believe, the oldest of 9 or 10 siblings. And so they're all now American citizens because of his efforts. And he's really, you know, he's worked multiple jobs at once, and he made it a priority to learn English, to educate himself, even though he couldn't physically go to school. He wasn't allowed to go to school. His type of perseverance and courage really inspires me in what I do today. He always taught me, you know, to stand up for what you feel is right, to always stand up for that person being bullied in school.
And you're seeing the America that he came to and brought his family to.
Right.
And maybe is his vision of what the America is that he fell in love with and brought his family into. Do you see that vision being changed?
I do. I see it being altered. I don't see it as the America that he wanted, that he dreamt of coming to.
And do you find that to be the inspiration for you to?
Oh, definitely. That's my inspiration.
Yeah. Jane, with the Women's March on Washington is not just about women's issues, as we're hearing. It's about just a vision of America as well. it's a group of women trying to highlight a number of issues, and one that has come up this week is the press. During a news conference earlier this week, the president-elect had harsh words for journalists whose coverage he said was, and I'm going to use a quote, fake news. It's a serious accusation, and then he refused to take questions from the reporter from that news outlet. As a person who's involved with the Overseas Press Club, is that kind of behavior alarming to you?
Well, I think it's definitely alarming, and I think the alarm bells had gone off quite a bit during the campaign, and there was some hope that Mr. Trump would temper his approach to the media. Certainly, that has not been the case so far. One of the things that is very obvious, I work in international journalism, and the people that I work with who cover authoritarian governments, the first thing that a tyrant does is delegitimize the press. And seeing that occur in this country is deeply, deeply troubling. At the Committee to Protect Journalists dinner this year, there was such a different tenor in the room. That's a dinner that stands probably more than any other event in the U.S. about the establishment and of press freedom. And there was a mood in the room that said, "Whoever thought that that would be an issue here in the U.S.?" because if it's an issue in the U.S., when governments around the world, when journalists around the world look to some type of protection, they hide, they protect themselves under the umbrella of the United States First Amendment, in that that's something that you want the rest of the world to adopt. So when it's threatened here, it's not only threatened here, it's threatened globally. And that is a great fear, not only for U.S. journalists, but for journalists all over the world.
It's interesting. I've always just thought of freedom of the press as just something that's always going to be there. And but it's kind of ideologically under threat.
Absolutely. I think when President Obama alluded to that in his farewell speech this week, that democracy is fragile. And that was – he wasn't alone in saying that. I know Franklin Roosevelt at the time also thought democracy is fragile. We citizens, we have to dive in, stay with it. That's what he told us to do. And I think that's what we're trying to that's what we're trying to represent when we want to stand up and be counted in this march.
All right. We have a call coming in from Jason in Naples. Jason, what would you like to say?
I'd like to make a comment and also ask a question. First, the comment. My children and I will be in Cambier Park on the morning of January 21st to support all of the women who are marching to D.C., including my wife, who will be there with women from Southwest Florida and across the country. The question is, there's been so many, I think, terrific and valid messages related to this march. I'm wondering what each of your guests will have either on their shirt or on a poster while they're marching.
That is a great question. I love that question. Do you have a shirt made up?
That's a really great question. So I'm not planning to wear a specific T-shirt because it is going to be January in Washington. So I'm planning to wear a jacket.
Oh, there you go. Good point.
but yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of great slogans and taglines and hashtags and logos and pictures and everything coming out of this. So I'm expecting to see a lot of really amazing signs. You know, I think for me personally, what's going to be on my sign and what's going to be on my mind is just a message of kindness and inclusivity. You know, we're all people, and I just believe so much in the power of respect and decency and courtesy. And it's sad. It saddened me over the last year to see that eroded in our public sphere. And so that's really what I'm marching for.
All right. And Jackie, what would you have on your sign or sweatshirt?
Well, I will be wearing a coat and maybe a couple layers as well.
He'll be able to see the Florida delegation because we'll look like we're wrapped up to go sledding or something like a three-year-old, you know?
Exactly. No, I was actually planning on wearing – I'm also a volunteer for Planned Parenthood, so I was planning on having the Planned Parenthood shirt on with some stickers on over my peacoat, handing out buttons and stickers.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely what I was planning on doing. I've come across so many slogans. I haven't said that I've picked the perfect one yet. But I'm definitely, like I said, just like Carolyn said, something with kindness, respect, intersectionality, the importance of diversity and all inclusivity is a message that I want to bring. Oh, also maybe touch on millennials, something in relation to the millennials, my generation. We're not all the same.
Yeah. Well, the world is very interested in learning more about millennials.
Yes.
I always hear this question. And Jane, what would you have on your side?
I think I might paraphrase Edmund Burke. That all we need for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing.
Oh, well, that is a good – that's a good quote. We have another call coming in. Sarah is on the phone, and she has a question for us. Sarah?
Hi there. Yes, I am also attending the march in Washington with my daughters, one from New Orleans and one from New York, and we put the whole trip together about 48 hours after the election. And I was unaware in Naples that there was a delegation of people going, so I wanted to know the contact information and what would be the advantage of me joining the delegation. You know, what is the group going to be doing?
Okay, so how
is it showing up?
Okay, Carolyn, how would somebody that is going to go to D.C. that's not already involved with the delegation, how do they get a hold of you?
So
through your Facebook page?
Yeah, Sarah, the best way would be for you to just reach out to me directly, and I can connect with you, if that's okay. Like, you can find me on Facebook. My name is Caroline Ridgway.
Okay. And then – or they can direct message the event page?
You can direct message the event page. But honestly, just because of the volume of people and the volume of information that's flowing around, Sarah, you're welcome to just contact me personally.
Okay. The organizers of the Women's March have published a 5-page document that it calls the Guiding Vision and Definition of Principles, and it hits on a number of issues from equal pay for equal work to violence against women, reproductive freedom, racial equality. There are a lot of issues, but by being part of this march, is that an implied that you are okay with all 5 pages of those issues? I mean, how do you see that kind of a definition, Caroline?
Absolutely not. There's no requirement that by being present in Washington or being present in Cambier Park or being present in, you know, Paris or Tokyo or any of the other places that you absolutely agree with every single tenet of that document. And I've heard that there has been a criticism levied against the march that it's almost a little too broad in scope and that maybe we'd be better off refining our message a little bit. But that's really been very intentional, that we want everybody's voice to be heard. And we're all different. We all care about different things. Our experiences accumulate into the people that we are. So I'm going to care about things that are different than Jackie and different than Jane. But together we respect each other. And so we wanted to make sure that it was clear that this message is broad and it is inclusive. So really, come whatever your beliefs, come.
Come as you are. I wanted to ask also, Caroline, this being a women's march, what do you think is unique about the women's voice on a lot of these issues?
Oh, that's such a good question. You know, I feel like women in general, we try so hard. Full stop. We try so hard all the time. We try hard to be the best we can, to be the best we can for our families, to be the best we can professionally. And I think that sometimes that can be exhausting. And I think sometimes we have to take off that mantle of perfection and be willing to speak openly and honestly. But I do think that women come to this kind of dialogue with a sense of respect and courtesy and caretaking that is unique to our gender. And so I think that that will carry through as this proceeds. You know, January 21st is the march, but really the real work begins on January 22nd. These are issues that do not have simple answers, but I do think that women have a strong voice and we're eager to have that represented.
I wanted to ask you also, Jackie, what do you think is the voice of a millennial in this type of a situation? I mean, putting everybody in a single basket and calling them all the same exact kind of person, the same viewpoint. But you're around millennials more than I am because you go to school with them all the time and you're one of them. What do you see as their voice in this?
I've heard many different things from each and every one of them. I think there's some that are really happy with the outcome of the election. They don't see anything wrong. I have some of my friends that think what I'm doing is crazy, pointless. I'm not going to get anywhere. I'm not going to change anything. And my answer, as well as with some of my colleagues, is you're absolutely wrong. The minute that you think that you can't do something, that's the problem, is that you're enabling this type of behavior. Like I said earlier, if I don't stand up and do something and I stay dormant, I'm contributing to it. I don't agree with it. I think that we are setting the tone for the future.
But are you seeing other people your age that are becoming more politically active?
Oh, definitely. Definitely with this election. And I will say that I really think that Senator Bernie Sanders really enabled the young generation. He, you know, created a revolution. He started a revolution, for
sure.
Well,
interesting because he's from such a different generation, too. And he really spoke to a much younger generation.
Because he knew how to approach us. He knew what issues we cared about that we deemed most important, because I feel like many past either president, senators, campaign, congressmen have just kind of danced around the issues and have never really addressed it head on. Mm-hmm. And we're tired of that.
And you're looking for more directness.
Exactly. I want answers. I want us all to be treated equally.
Jackie hit on an interesting point, and that was there are people who resign themselves to, what are you going to do with a march? We've had marches throughout history, many of which have had huge results, such as the civil rights marches. What do you think is important, and what are you seeing with this younger generation getting inspired to go and march? And you said that you had gone to a women's march in 88?
89. I'm just so delighted when I see the engagement of younger generations, and, you know, those of us who were in more in the forefront of the feminist movement when it started. And this election has felt so depressing that all the gains we had made are under threat right now. As I said, you know, I marched 30 years ago for pro-choice, and now they're defunding, just talk of defunding Planned Parenthood. Where have we been in the last 30 years? And I think there was something about my generation that feels that we need to stand up and not lose what we fought for.
And then seeing young people also.
And seeing young people, it's just so refreshing and just so lovely that they'll pick up the torch and follow us.
All right. Well, I wanted to wrap it up there. We have to because of time, but I want to thank you all for joining us today, and safe travels to Carolyn Ridgway and Jackie Burgos. Also, thank you to Jane Riley for coming in to the studio to talk about participating in the Naples March. If you would like any additional information, though, about the March on Washington or the March in Naples, you can find links on our website at news.wgcu.org. Click on the Gulf Coast Live tab. Coming up, he's published more anthologies of poetry for children than anyone in the world. And that's not all. Lee Bennett Hopkins is also a prolific writer himself, and he'll be recognized for that next month in the Florida Artists Hall of Fame. We'll talk with him right after this. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live.